You just heard A Farm for Mehmet by Virginia Grice, directed by Rebecca Rivas. The play featured Natalia Valadez as Norteada and Angela Muñiz as Vanessa. The sound design was by Ian Gilliam. Cassandra Soto was stage manager. The song El Jardín de Meme features music and lyrics by Sandino González Flores, piano and Leona by Sandino González Flores, Jarana by Quetzal Flores. We are here with playwright Virginia Grice to talk more about the play. How's it going, Virginia?
It's going well. It's going well. Thank you for having me on air today.
Well, thank you for taking this leap. And this is the first question I've asked everybody. You know, I think originally this festival was on the stage, probably, you know, what you do all the time. So what was that like to shift from the stage to radio?
Well, it's interesting because what I was actually going to do on the stage is not necessarily what I do all the time. And so when I was given a call to participate in the festival, I said that I really didn't want to workshop a play, that what I really wanted to do was to try something new. And I was thinking of this idea or this concept of, I've been working a lot with performance lectures. So I wanted to think about, as opposed to workshopping a play, if I could workshop a performance lecture. And the piece was called These Are My Papers. And it was a lecture that I wanted to accompany my performance piece called Rasgos Asiáticos, which is about the Chinese-Mexican side of my family. And so we were going to do it as a devised piece. I had several questions and prompts and work that I wanted the students to do in terms of writing their own stories of place and autogeography. And when we switched to radio, I really felt like I had to work on a completely different piece, because it just wasn't something that transferred so easily. And I think in general for theater artists, that's been the challenge right now, is we should really think of new mediums as new mediums. Nothing should really be direct transfers. So how do we work in a new medium?
Right. And I mean, it sounds like your mindset is already there, right? I mean, you're already challenging yourself before the challenge came to you. Is that just something that's within you?
Well, I think that really lately I have been questioning, as somebody who's a theater artist, how we can think about and imagine theater beyond the play. What are all the different ways in which theater manifests itself that isn't just a play? And so even A Farm for Mehmet on the radio, it's not a traditional play by any means. And so trying to figure out just what other possibilities exist in terms of performance.
So in this process, what did you learn while putting this together?
Well, with this particular piece, it actually has been a piece that I have been working on since the beginning of the pandemic. And so when the pandemic hit, like many theater artists especially, you know, I lost all of my work for the next really 2 years in a period of 24 hours. And so when the pandemic initially hit, I think that there was a period of just that, of loss and of mourning. And then also this sense of incredible privilege, because I didn't have to go to work. I had a salaried position as a playwright in residence at a theater company. And so unlike my nieces and nephews that were essential workers that were having to work at the beginning of the pandemic, I didn't have to do that. And so the question for me as an artist became, what do I want to do if I don't have to do anything? As a working artist, I think I was very reliant on the gig economy before the pandemic, and I had been trying to figure out a way to work differently before things happened. And so this was an opportunity to really do that. What do I want to do if I could work completely different? What I started to learn is that I was returning a lot to my physical self and my physical body as a theater artist, taking somatics classes, dance classes. Like many people in the United States, I started gardening, you know.
Yes.
Through that process, I think that I really started to think about, what does sovereignty look like? What does it mean to grow our own food? What seeds will I plant metaphorically in this moment? And so I picked up this piece and started working on it. And this is actually the second presentation of it. The first one was a virtual theater piece that we were trying to figure out, how do you make things grow only with the things that you have inside your house? And so made a piece of virtual theater that was really heavy with puppets that were, you know, things from construction paper to measuring sticks to, you know, everything that you have in your house. And I performed that live at the beginning of August. And so this is the second iteration of it is in the radio play. And so I think that one of the things that has been fun for me is to stay inside of a piece of work for a period of time and see it in different ways. And so then the next iteration of this piece is actually a coloring book. And so next month we'll be distributing the coloring book in several different cities in Texas, Austin, San Antonio, Dallas, as well as in Tucson, Arizona, which is where the visual artist for the coloring book is from, and Los Angeles, which is the site of the South Central Farm in Phoenix, Arizona.
So apparently, if you had all the time in the world, you'd be really busy, right? Creating art.
I have been incredibly busy. You know, I have always said that if we really wanted to support the arts, that what we actually need to support is affordable housing, free education, free and universal health care. If we really want to support the arts, we would create the conditions for people to have the time, the space, and the energy to be able to make work.
It's amazing, right? Because I love what you were talking about. Like, you didn't try to squeeze this into a format, and yet you're playing with it in all the different formats out there. But how does Meme change as you go from the virtual to the radio to the coloring book?
Well, it's interesting because even the focus of who's telling the story, I feel, begins to shift and change as we look at different formats. And so for with the virtual piece, one of the things that we did is we tried to connect it to the coloring book. And so one of the scenes is with a character playing Meme coloring, right? So a young man, little boy named Maceo, and he was very featured in the piece. And so in this rendition is the voice of two women. And so it was really nice, actually, to hear the voice of two women telling the story. And then what I'm hoping with the coloring book is that it then becomes a story that people take on in their own voice, in their own way, in their own storytelling. And so the coloring book even is, there's some sections of activities. And so part of what we're asking people is to also like imagine their own neighborhood and what their own dreams are for their neighborhood and what are the things that they want to plant and how would they do that.
So for the rest of us out here in El Paso, how do we get our hands on your coloring book?
That's a good question. That's a good question because my commitment really was that they be distributed for free. And so I wasn't thinking of or conceptualizing how to distribute them. You know, how do people like order them or buy them? It really was, these are the communities that I'm connected to right now. And I wanted to offer something to those communities, especially as kids are, you know, many kids are being forced to stay at home and not able to go back to school. And so what are the ways that we can create something to help create a space for young people just to imagine and dream and create, you know?
So you strike me as a person that is really good at claiming her space. Can we talk about how you feel about the current state of Latinx in theater arts in particular?
Well, I think that we're at an opportunity in this country where we're really being asked to make different decisions and priorities for what our work looks like. I really do feel like we're at that impasse. I feel that the global pandemic, coupled with a national uprising, has given us the opportunity to say what kind of life we want to live. And for me, our art has to be connected to that. What is the life that we want to live? And so even with the Farm for Meme, when I turned it into the theater company, I'm in residence at Caramia Theater, which is a Latino theater company in Dallas, Texas. And when I turned in the piece, you know, it's 4 pages long. Plays are traditionally 75 pages, 100 pages long. So I turned in this 4-page piece of work. And the response by the artistic director was, how do we support you? to realize this work? What is it that you want? And, you know, I mentioned, well, looking at these three different options. And then he's like, well, now how does the theater company support you? And I said, well, what I really want is an empty lot. If I'm going to be in residence with you for the next 3 years, I actually want an empty lot in a working class neighborhood in Dallas to imagine and dream what we could create in this space over the next 3 years. And so I think that we're at a moment in which we should think of our art as an opportunity to create space for freedom dreams, and for abolition. And so when we talk about, I feel like a lot of the hot words right now are around diversity, inclusion. I don't want to or need to be included into any systems that currently exist. I feel like those systems in so many ways have failed us. And I really, in this moment, one of the things that we have seen, of course, is a highlight on the incredible inequities that this pandemic reveals. But the other thing that we have also seen is that we can actually reprioritize budgets, and we can actually reprioritize where we invest our time and our work. And so for me personally, as a Chicana, I really want to invest my work on creating spaces through my art that imagine a place where we can all be free. And that means free metaphorically, free, you know, symbolically, but also that means literally free from cages, from prisons, from detention centers, how our people can be free.
And, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I feel like you're already there, right? Breaking the rules and blazing those trails, figuring, asking somebody, I want a lot, you know, when they ask you. And I think a lot of us are very humble, right? I don't know, like, oh, I don't know, what do I want? You know, I think everything's fine. I'm an artist in residence, great. But everybody's breaking rules right now. And guess what? They're finding out that everything's just fine, right? Like all these rules, it's not like the world's ending, right? It's like it's this new discovery almost. And it's happening all over the way. Not to say that things are improving, but like these rules and systems that were in place that are being broken just so that we can get through this pandemic. I mean, not that big of a deal.
They're not serving us.
Right.
And if something is not serving us, I don't feel like it's my role to fix it. I do believe that there are some systems that cannot be fixed. And I think that the only thing that we can offer as an artist, I think that what I have to offer then is the imagining of something better. I don't, and I'm not interested in fixing broken systems. I do want those systems to fall away and for us to imagine and build something better.
Well, I, for one, appreciate your imagination, and I can't thank you enough for creating this piece for us. It's a true gift. Today, my guest has been playwright Virginia Grice, creator of A Farm for Mehmet. Thank you for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you so much for having me.